I'd like to invite you to turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. We will be reading the epistle to the Hebrews from chapter 11, from verse 1 to chapter 12, verse 2. After having warned people in the churches about the danger of being under the judgment of God, the author of Hebrews now presents the role of faith in their lives and the great blessing that people receive through their faith in Christ. We'll be reading from Hebrews 11, verse 1, to Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let's hear the word of God. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Though through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater than the wealth, greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. We all have hopes and dreams about the future. We spent all our life pursuing those dreams. Some of them are going to be fulfilled, while some other dreams will remain just that, dreams. Maybe you dream of a better job or better health or becoming better at what you do. When some dreams fail, we come up with others and we hope that the new ones would be fulfilled. And boys and girls, you probably imagine what you will do when you will grow up. Maybe you dream of becoming a doctor or a firefighter or an airplane pilot or some other job that you want to do in your life. Dreaming is something that is part of our lives even since we are little. And there is a sense in which we never stop dreaming. But the text we just read is not about the dreams that people have, but rather about the promises that God has made. We have all probably heard of a superficial way of approaching this text that sees the people mentioned here in chapter 11 as visionary heroes, as people who had confidence in themselves and were courageous to pursue and fulfill their dreams. According to that reading of the text, faith is a confidence that serves your own purposes. By faith, you have God on your side, and with God, all things are possible. That is not the message of the text. Our text doesn't teach us to pursue our own purposes, but to believe God's promises. Now, there are plenty of purposes which are legitimate for us to pursue. We can pursue work and play within the bounds of God's law. But our text calls us to something different. It is a call that echoes the words of Christ, who spoke to his disciples in the Gospel of John, saying, "In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's a call that turns our eyes to Christ and his victory. It is because of Christ who overcame the world that we can have confidence and we can persevere. Because God has fulfilled his promises in Christ, we are called to persevere by faith in him. Because God has fulfilled his promises in Christ, we are called to persevere by faith in him. We will seek to understand this calling that we have by looking at three things that our text explains about the faith through which we persevere. First, the role of faith in our life. Second, the rule of faith over our life. And third, the reward of faith after this life. Let us consider, and first, the role of faith in our lives. What is this role? Faith gives us perseverance by making us partakers in the person and work of Christ. This is the first thing that we can learn from our text tonight. The author of Hebrews does not give us a definition of what faith is, but an explanation of how faith functions in our lives, the roles that it has in making us partakers in the victory of Christ. Right before chapter 11, the author quotes the Old Testament promise that God will give life to his people by faith, not through their obedience. And the author states that the believers persevere through faith. They have life through faith. And chapter 11 develops this idea that people have life through faith. How does faith function to give life to people? How do people persevere by faith? To understand this, we need to start with verse 1. And we need to hear verse 1 in an older English translation which reflects more clearly the original text. In the King James translation, verse 1 reads, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That might seem a very strange translation, and we might ask, why do we have two translations? The ESV translation goes back to Luther, while the King James translation goes back to Calvin and other Reformed scholars of that time. And why would we choose the King James version over the ESV? Well, Greek language scholars in the past and present have proved beyond reasonable doubt that the words translated by ESV as conviction and assurance never have those meaning, not in the Bible, not in Greek literature. But what do they mean? What does it mean that faith is the substance of things hoped for? What does this have to do with the role of faith in our lives? Substance here is used in the sense of being, existence, foundation of things. Faith is the instrument through which God brings into existence in our lives the blessings that were promised. Faith is not wishful thinking, but an instrument used by God to make us partakers in the reality of his promises. And the second part of verse 1 states that faith is the evidence of things unseen. By faith, we perceive the reality of what is promised, even though our natural senses cannot perceive that reality. Francis Turretin, one of our great 17th century theologians, notes that faith provides substance and evidence of things not seen, because otherwise we cannot perceive them. Faith is demonstrating things that are not accessible or not yet fulfilled in history. Faith makes future blessings exist in our heart by trust and hope. Now, this is not to be understood as imagination. We don't imagine what we wish to have and call that faith. That is not faith. As one author states, faith is founded upon testimony, not upon reason. Faith does not originate from within ourselves, from our minds or our desires, but from the Word of God, from the testimony that is being preached, from the promises of God that have been made in the past, and they are announced to us again and again through preaching. That is why our text speaks of commendation, of testimony, of witnesses. In verse 2, the author states that by faith, the people of the old were commended, were testified to. They received a testimony about the reality of the promises of God, the same way we receive a testimony. They are witnesses testifying to us about the reality of the promises of God. And we see this in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, where the author states, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." This text does not present the people in chapter 11 as spectators that look to us as we are walking in our pilgrimage. They are not witnesses of what we are doing, but they are witnesses of Christ. They are testifying about the reality of a new heaven and a new earth which they longed for. Because they testify and point to Christ and His kingdom, we are not to turn back to the things of the old, but to look to Christ. The problem of many in churches in that time, as we know from the rest of the epistle, was that they wanted to return to Judaism. They wanted to return to the sacrifices of the temple, to the holy days, and to the rituals of Israel. And the author is telling them, no, you shouldn't do that. All those people of old that you respect, all those events that you are fascinated by, they are all testifying to a future fulfillment of the promises of God, to new and better things, to a heavenly city. And through their historical testimony recorded in the Bible, our faith is strengthened so that we too would look forward, so that we, even in tribulations, we would look to Christ who has overcome the world. The witnesses of Hebrews 11 testify to us. They offer us by faith a knowledge that is trustworthy. In verse 4, Abel is presented as still speaking to us, even though he is dead. In verse 7, Noah is presented as acting based on things that were yet unseen. In verses 8 to 12, Abraham is presented as living as a stranger in tents in that promised land, because by faith he was looking to the ultimate fulfillment of what God has promised, to the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13 concludes that all these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. They saw from afar the fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. In this sense, the Gospel of John, Jesus says to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it, and he was glad." Abraham saw the salvation brought by Christ through faith, even when he was away, he was far removed by thousands of years from the day of its fulfillment. What is the role of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith brings to the present a reality which is future. We see this from verses 17 to 22, where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph see their present, see in their present a blessing which is only future. In verse 26, Moses is presented as having the reality of salvation in Christ more real before his eyes than the riches of Egypt and the opportunities he had there for a good life. And a long list of people is introduced in verse 32. Some of the most noteworthy people in the history of the people of Israel. And verse 39 concludes that all these people received a testimony through faith, but they did not receive the things that were promised. Why? Because the history of salvation was not supposed to end with them, but to continue for us. They had through faith the reality of salvation, but the consummation of history, the glorification of this life, they were not given to them at that time. Because of God's plan that also included us. People from all nations, who are far away from the people of God, we now receive a testimony through these witnesses. And they plead with us to persevere in looking to Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When you are overwhelmed by the needs of this world, when you are exhausted by the fight against sin, when you are discouraged by loneliness or bad news, keep looking to Christ. It is not what we feel or what we dream, but a historical testimony of these historical acts of God for our salvation that is the foundation of our faith. It's not just a testimony about random facts in history, but a testimony of God's fulfillment of His promises. The greatest fulfillment being the fact that He sent His eternal Son to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life in our place, to die in our place for our sins, to be resurrected and ascended to the Father. Hear this testimony of God through this good news. Look to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believe in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the cross, to the point of death on the cross. Faith offers us the substance, the reality of what God has promised, the evidence, the proof of what we have not seen with our eyes. And we might ask ourselves, what happens in our life when this faith is given to us? What form does this faith take in our life? And this brings us to our second point. The role of faith to make us partakers of the person and work of Christ leads to a rule of faith over our lives. That is our second point tonight, the rule of faith over our life. What is this rule of faith? This faith in the testimony of God, which makes us partakers in the person and work of Christ, takes over our life, reshapes our life, rules over our life. Faith is not just an add-on to our life. It's not like a cherry on a cake. It's not like a hobby that you pursue when you have time for it. Faith changes the orientation of our life. The foundation of our life is shaken. Our life before faith is proven to be death under disguise. Our life begins when we are by faith freed from the slavery of sin, from the tormenting guilt of our sins, from the fearful expectation of God's judgment. We live by faith. We have life by faith in Christ who died and was resurrected for our salvation. To understand this, we can consider two examples. Most of us were born here with a good eyesight, but some people are born with poor eyesight or even blind. Being born blind or becoming blind because of an accident restricts what you can do in life. Having faith is like being healed from a spiritual blindness. We were born without faith. We were born dead in our trespasses and our sins. But God brought us to life by the faith He created in our hearts, by the hearing of the gospel of Christ. We began to see things that we did not see before. We see the acts of God in history. We see His testimony in His word. And the acts of God for our salvation, whether past, present, or future, whether they are near or they are far away, they all are brought by faith to us. Another instance in which people are deprived by one of their senses is the case of people who are born deaf. And you might be aware that because of recent developments in medicine, there is a surgery which is available, and that surgery offers an implant through which people who were born deaf, who never heard a sound in their whole life, they can have that surgery. And I have watched this documented and filmed. I've seen a few instances where people, adults in their 20s, 30s, and older, they had this surgery, and now they are in the doctor's office, and the doctor turns on the switch for their implant. And for the first time in their life, they begin hearing sounds. They hear the voices of other people. Many hear for the first time the voice of their spouse. It is for them an overwhelming experience. Their whole life is changed. Now they can hear. Now they can do more things. When faith is created in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel, it changes the outlook of our life. It makes us hear the voice of our Heavenly Father through the testimony of His word. Our whole life is reshaped and reoriented through a spiritual sight and a spiritual hearing that replaces a spiritual blindness and a spiritual deafness which we were born with. And maybe you might ask yourself, is faith really ruling over my life? Is faith really reshaping my life if there is nothing impressing happening in my life? There's nothing comparable to what those people mentioned in Hebrews 11. Nothing comparable to what they did. There's nothing impressive or worth mentioning. If you struggle with sin, if you doubt the testimony of God, if you are confused and fearful, know that you are in good company. The witnesses of Hebrews 11, the so-called heroes, they were people of faith, but they were also sinful. Doubting the promises of God, many times confused and fearful. Noah had a problem with drunkenness. Abraham was a coward and gave his wife to kings because he was fearing for his life. Sarah laughed when she heard the promise that she will give birth in her old age. Isaac repeated the errors of his father. Jacob deceived his father. Moses was afraid of public speaking. And David fell into sexual immorality. All these people are presented in the Old Testament as being marked by doubt and sinfulness, not that we would follow their bad example, but because they are not fairy tale characters. They are not perfect mythical figures. They were real people struggling with sin. But having faith in God, their life was reoriented by their faith. By this we see that faith does not act immediately or automatically in our life. Faith in the gospel does not make us sinless overnight. It does not work like a magical spell that transforms in a moment a frog into a prince. Faith is effective through the means of grace. The Spirit of God works through preaching, through the administration of the sacraments, and His work is a persevering partaking of the person and work of Christ. That is why the epistle to the Hebrews was written. That is why the author pleads with them to not to return to the rituals of the Old Testament, but to look to Christ. Thus, the Spirit gives to people, to those who receive this letter, to people who hear the preaching of this letter and of the Word of God, the reality of the things that were promised, the evidence of things that are not seen, the testimony of the grace of God, the knowledge of God's salvation, through the means of grace, which become effective in our life through faith. But what is the purpose of this work? We might ask, where is it supposed to lead? The role and rule in our life has a finality, a final end in view. And this brings us to our third point. The reward of faith after this life. Faith has a final point. The reward of a new life beyond what can be seen and touched. According to verse 6, faith includes believing there is a reward for those who seek God. Verse 26 says that Moses gave up the treasures of Egypt because he was looking to the reward given by God. In chapter 10, the author also mentions that our confidence in Christ has a great reward. How are we to understand this reward? What does it consist of? It is not a reward of things of this life. Hebrews 11, 32 to 38 shows that some people of faith are victorious. They have success in the things they're doing, but others fail. Others suffer. The reward doesn't have to do with things that you receive now. It's not some kind of karma principle that if you do good things will come back to you. The people of faith who suffered mocking and flogging, who suffered chains and imprisonment, who were stoned, who were sawn into two, who were killed with a sword, who were destitute, afflicted, mistreated, were wandering on the earth. They testify to us that this reward is not in the present life. The reward of faith is a reward of a city whose builder and designer is God. A homeland, a better country, a new and better life in the kingdom of God. By faith, we look forward to this reward. By faith, we are heirs of this reward, of an eternal life, of a glorified life, without sin and without suffering. And we might ask, why? Why are we heirs of this reward? Why are we going to be rewarded? Not because of what we have done, not because we merited this reward, not because faith is worthy of reward, but because of Christ. By faith, we are given a persevering partaking in the person and work of Christ. We share in the reward that he gained through his obedience, which is perfect. Our life now is ruled by faith in Christ, but is also reshaped by the hope of this reward. Our calling is not to be like Moses or to be like David. It's not to recreate their cities or to reenact their rituals or to rebuild their temple. But if we are called to imitate them in some sense, then we are called to imitate their faith in Christ. To imitate them in the fact that they were looking forward. They were expecting our common inheritance in wanting to enter the heavenly and eternal kingdom of God. Hebrews 11 teaches us that faith is looking beyond what is apparent to the substance and foundation of things, not looking away from matter to spirit as if material things will be bad, but looking forward into the future according to the promises of God. We are not simply called to live natural lives on this earth, but also spiritual lives by faith, based on things that are not yet seen or have not yet been fulfilled in history by God, based on the promises of God, his reward, the reality of a resurrected life on a new earth and under a new sun. Look to this reward that awaits you and me in eternity. Let your dreams on this earth be seen in light of this great reward. Whatever good things we might pursue in this life, they cannot be compared with eternal life in the kingdom of God. Whether our dreams are fulfilled or not, whether our life now is a failure or a success, whether we are sick or healthy, whether we are poor or rich, whether we are appreciated or mocked, our ultimate hope transcends all these troubles that we encounter now. Because God has fulfilled his promises in Christ, we are called to persevere by faith in him. Faith has the role of making us partakers in the victory of Christ. Faith rules over our lives and reshapes our lives. Faith has a great reward that gives an enduring hope. Let your faith in Christ empower you to endure in our pilgrimage towards our heavenly home. In this pilgrimage, we can be destitute of all kinds of things, but we are never without hope. When your doctor gives you bad news, when your boss or your coworkers don't appreciate you and your work, when you feel weak in your fight against sin, know that Christ has overcome the world and we share in his victory. Let's pray. Blessed be our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because according to your great mercy, you caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We praise you that by your power we are being guarded through faith for a final and complete salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Lord, we pray, strengthen our faith. Let us see grace in our lives. Let us hear the good news of your salvation. Let us seek your kingdom first. Turn our eyes to Christ. Incline our hearts to receive the testimony of your word. All this we pray in the name of your Son, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.